He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus gives the warning that those who have the light, those who have the light of truth, they shouldn't try to hide it. They shouldn't try to cover it up. But Jesus says, let it show. Let your light shine so that others may see it and they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. And that's where the glory goes to. And in this case, we're talking about wisdom, the wisdom from God. And James is saying, those who have God's wisdom, it's not just a select few. It's not just only the special, really, really special ones. But those of us who have access to God's understanding and God's wisdom, we need to let it show. And so James says, let it show. Now, there's somewhat of a difference between, in the New Testament, between understanding and wisdom. Or understanding, or wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is basically knowledge that is obeyed and applied. Knowledge obeyed and applied. It's not just a head full of knowledge, but knowledge that is obeyed. In the Christian life, it kind of looks like this. You have a lot of people who may know a lot of Bible, a lot about the Bible, a lot of Bible verses. Maybe you were raised to know a lot about the Bible, and it's all up here, and you can rattle off a lot of verses and a lot of facts and a lot of stories. But wisdom is taking that and obeying it and applying it in your life. And it goes from just being head knowledge to being something that works in your heart. And there's the big difference. It's a big difference. And maybe you've met people that have a lot of head knowledge about God and the Bible, and it does them no good. Wisdom is applying that and obeying it. So how does one show wisdom, this kind of wisdom? Verse 13, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. Okay, so we have two things here. First of all, we have good conduct. Everyone knows what conduct is, right? That is works. The things you do, the things you say, how you live your life. Some other passages talk about your walk, how you walk. That is your day-to-day life. This is your conduct. So James says our wisdom shows by how we conduct ourselves, your life, and it should. James says faith without works is dead. This is a reiteration of that. Let him show this wisdom of God by good conduct. It's not just about how much you know, James is saying. It's how much you show. Now, these deeds, these works, must also be done in a particular way. It's important. We're not just talking about work hard, but it's a particular way. It says, in meekness of wisdom. This word meekness is in direct opposition to arrogance and self-promotion. Big difference. I'm mindful of Jesus going up into the temple. There's the two men. One is the Pharisee. He's doing the works, isn't he? He's in the temple. He's praying, isn't he? Yes, he gives. Yes, he fasts. Everything. But is he doing it in meekness of wisdom? Is it meekness? No. In fact, Jesus describes his prayer. Now, I think Jesus, well, maybe they actually did pray this out loud in such a way. I don't know. But Jesus is at least describing what's going on in the fellow's heart, isn't he? When he says, oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I pray, I fast, I give. And I'm not like this man over here, a sinner. Now, for the life of me, I can't imagine a person actually praying that out loud. I can't. But maybe there are some. And maybe they were, and Jesus saw them and really pointed them out. But if we're honest, a lot of us might have that kind of attitude going on inside. And in our hearts, we say, Lord, thank you. I mean, I'm doing a pretty good job. I do all these things for you, God, and I'm not like other people. And we compare ourselves in such a way. And Jesus understands and knows the heart. So he says, let him show by good conduct, yes, but in meekness. In meekness, the opposite of this arrogance and self-promotion, the opposite of pride. We as Christians have every reason to be meek. Every reason to be humble. We have every reason. Who were we? We were simply rebellious sinners against God. And because we were rebellious sinners, we forfeited any good graces deserving of anything from God. That's who we were. All that is good in our lives, everything is because of the grace that He has shown to us. God took pity on us when we were lost, when we were sinners, deserving of judgment. And He came looking for us, and He found us in such a state. He made the change in our lives. He's the one who has made us a new creation. He's given us a new life. He's given us strength. He's given us His power to live for Him. So we have nothing to boast in. So of all people, we as born-again believers should be meek and humble, as our Lord was meek and humble. Reformer John Calvin, he wrote, when a certain... Now listen, there's a couple of words here. This is old English talk a little bit. I'll explain if I need to. But when a certain rhetorician... Do you know what a rhetorician is? We don't use that word. You know what rhetoric is? Rhetoric is speech. So a rhetorician would be one who speaks. Okay, so he uses this word, fancy word. When a certain rhetorician, a speaker, was asked, what was the chief rule in eloquence? Do you know what eloquence is? That is speaking good, very well, and so that people understand, very flowery, very good speaker. Oh, when a certain, what was the chief rule in eloquence? He replied, delivery, how you get it out to people. What was the second rule? Delivery. And what was the third rule? Delivery. Okay? But if you ask me concerning the precepts of the Christian faith, first, second, and third, I would always answer humility. 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 Humbleness. Meekness. Modeling our Savior. In the year 117 AD, there was a fellow named Ignatius who came from Antioch. He was condemned to death to die in Rome, and so he was sent to Rome with a cohort of 10 soldiers to escort him all the way. Along the way to Rome, you didn't catch a flight, by the way, and there in a few hours. It took quite a number of days to get to Rome. On the way, Ignatius had written seven letters along this long journey. And in all his letters, you never saw any trace of bitterness, any trace of pride. The only thing that one could see is the humility of a man who was willing and considered it a joy to suffer for Christ. And he prayed that he may be a good witness and example for Christ in this. Wow. I was also reading recently, and it was 1:55. If you've been in the 10 o'clock Revelation study we've been doing, and I mentioned this last week, in 1:55 there was another man named Polycarp. Polycarp was the overseer or pastor of the church in Smyrna. And in 1:55 he was also condemned to die for not paying tribute and bowing to Caesar, not worshiping Caesar. And so he was condemned to die. They tied him up to a stake. And they were going to burn him at the stake. And Polycarp's last words were, 86 years, the Lord has been faithful to me. How then can I now blaspheme my King and Savior? He was an old man. And in his heart, even in condemned to death at the hands of cruel, cruel people, you see such meekness and humility and the willingness to suffer for his Lord. So what does this wisdom look like? It shows itself in good conduct, in meekness, not in look at me, not in pride, not in arrogance. Secondly, we must be careful that we don't mistake worldly wisdom for the real thing. James goes on in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. We've all seen people that we've respected for years, and for some reason they seem to change for the worse. People who started off their walk with the Lord with a bang, and they served the Lord. They seemed so passionate and fervent in it. And then years later, we see them doing or saying some things, and we scratch our head and say, why? And sometimes it really hurts us, and you believe it really hurts the cause of Christ. James says there's a reason for this problem. He states it in verse 14 and again in verse 16, and that is called envy. Envy creeps in. Brothers, sisters, be careful not to let envy creep in. You may be serving the Lord. You may be showing it through your works and in humility, in meekness. Guard your hearts against this thing called envy. Envy. He's talking here about the resentful and hateful dislike of perhaps the blessings of others. God's blessing on other people. Is there anyone whose possessions, whose rank, marriage, their beauty, their job, their intelligence, their style, or even their health that you envy? Is there some selfish ambition in your heart, or are you truly content with what the Lord has given to you? Do you argue? Are you pushy? Are you self-promoting, self-promotional? When James talks about envy, he uses an adjective in front of the word. He calls it bitter envy. I believe he does this because he knows that this is the result of envy in a person's life. It leads them to bitterness. And if you continue to allow some envy in your life, it'll lead you to being bitter as well. Bitter towards other people, bitter towards God, just bitter in general in life. Remember in the Old Testament, there was a man named Saul. Saul had everything going for him. He became king of Israel. He had it all. But there came a time when he heard the people saying something like, Saul has killed his thousands of enemy, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And from then on, it seemed, things just got worse and worse and went downhill, downhill. He allowed envy in his heart, and it turned him bitter to the point that he was doing things like throwing a javelin at David, trying to pin him against a wall. That's pretty envious, isn't it? You wives ever try that with your husbands? Don't. But this, he allowed it to start as just envy when he looked at other people and what God had done through somebody else. And he hunted them down like an animal. Who was our ultimate example? We have to say Christ. He's our example to follow. What was his attitude? The Bible tells us in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man, Jesus is speaking. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus says, this is why I've come, the Son of Man, God in the flesh, God the Son. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And he modeled this and lived this out in his life. And he served others. This wisdom that he's speaking of here is not the kind of wisdom that we need to have in our hearts. What does James say about this kind of wisdom? Well, he says, first of all, in verse 15, it is earthly. Again, look at verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. He says it's earthly. This does not come from God. This is not his wisdom. This comes from the world. The world. Satan is the prince of this world. This is his domain now. Oh, God is still in charge. He is over all. But Satan is called the prince of this world. And those who are in this world belong to him. That's why we must be born again, so that we may belong to another. Why do so many people in this world who appear to have all that the world has to offer? They have the money, they have the fame, they have the power, the prestige. But why do so many who seem to have it all still seem depressed and hopeless? That would be because this world is what they are living for. And this world is going to leave them empty. This world is not going to satisfy. It wasn't intended to be your satisfaction, and it leaves them feeling empty. And oftentimes we find the people who have the most feel the most empty because they realize it's not filling that desire. You think money is going to solve all your answers, all your problems, and those who have the most money, they realize it doesn't. They're the same. And so that leads to great discouragement, depression. They're living for the world. James says this wisdom is earthly. It's not from heaven. Second, he says it's sensual. He says it's earthly, and then he says it's sensual. Now, most of the time when we see the word sensual, we think of sexy right away. Okay, oh, that's sensual. We're not talking about sexy. That's not that. This wisdom isn't sexy wisdom. But this word here, sensual, means natural, by nature. Kind of like how a dog is a dog by nature. They're a canine. That is who they are. And so we expect them to do stupid dog things. And we just kind of, either you like dogs or you don't. Do you like dogs? Who's a dog lover here? Who does not like dogs? Nobody? Okay, good. I was going to ask you to leave, but I won't have to do that. But we expect dogs to do dog things. Why? Because we understand that's their nature. They're living by nature. And so we don't get offended at them for, you know, our dog will go bark at people in a very rude manner when they walk by our house. And they just kind of walk by and smile at him, and they don't think too much of him. Because they understand he's a dog, and that comes naturally. But we as Christians have to understand that we have a new nature. A new nature, and we must reckon that to be so in our lives. That is, apply it. Apply this new nature. Live this new nature. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That means the sensual man, the man who lives by his natural nature that he was born with, does not understand the things of God. For they are foolishness to him. This is our natural state. The things that God, all that, all this Bible stuff, all this spiritual stuff, eternal things, this stuff is foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So we have two things. We have the natural man, the sensual man. We have the spiritual man. These two are opposites. And by nature, we are the natural man. But when God does a work in us and we are born again, he makes us a spiritual man. And our spirit is awakened. And the things that were once foolishness to us about God and the Word of God becomes something precious to us. The truths that we used to perhaps just shake our head at now becomes truths that we love and we cling to and we want to know more of. Because we are no longer sensual. We are no longer natural. But we are spiritual. And God has done that in us. But so James is saying this wisdom, this false wisdom, is earthly. It is sensual. That is natural, not spiritual. But not only that, he goes on to say it's demonic. Demonic. This kind of wisdom is demonic. Satan himself is the epitome of envy. That's what led to his fall, wasn't it? He looked at all that God had and says, man, why can't I be like that? Or sometimes we refer to his pride, and he had pride, but we see that there was this envious, this bitter envy that set in his heart. And then he came to man in the garden, and he set that same seed of bitter envy as well. God knows that the day you eat of it, then you'll be like him. And he doesn't want that. Don't you want to be like God? So he set these seeds of envy in their hearts. He says it's demonic. It comes from Satan. What effects do bitter envy and selfish ambition have? He says in verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. It's not a good scene. It's not a good way to live. It's not a good life. Now let's take a look at how true wisdom shows itself. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see a number of things here that describes this kind of wisdom that should be in each of our lives. First of all, he says it's first pure. This word for pure, the Greek word means chaste and innocent. A pure life. This is God's picture of real wisdom. Real wisdom is a pureness, an innocence. I've heard the term worldly wisdom, and people look at businessmen, and if they use the term, oh, they're really worldly wise, what they are referring to is their ability to know how people cheat, or perhaps their ability to cheat people themselves, their ability to use people to get ahead, their ability to work the system, to outsmart others before they get hurt themselves. God says this is not the way of wisdom in his eyes. Real wisdom in his eyes is one who has this innocence and purity. And we're to seek purity in our lives. Jesus says, be pure as I am pure. We are to seek this kind of purity in our lives. The second thing he says is peaceable. It's peaceable. This peace begins in one's own life, first of all. When one has genuine peace with God, then peace is able to come out in all other aspects of your life. If you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace with yourself. You're not going to have peace with others. We need this peace with God. And that peace with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Comes through letting him forgive you of all your sin comes from letting him make you into a new creation. You are changed. Then we see this wisdom is gentle. Gentle. Another word for this here is sometimes patient. We are patient with others. Yes, we're to strive for purity in our lives, but at the same time, we also show patience with those outside, with other people. So we strive for purity, but at the same time, we show patience with others. I've been in churches in the past at various times that what I would call are super legalistic. I have known of some churches that would turn away visitors at the door, a woman at the door, if they came in wearing pants, for example. I've seen that. Or if they're really progressive, they might have some extra clothes that they may suggest she go and put on before she comes into the auditorium. Why? Well, they think that they are maintaining some kind of purity in their lives and in their church in doing so. But at what cost? They are missing the gentleness and the patience part of wisdom. Be gentle. We see, fourthly, they're willing to yield. Another word for this is to be submissive. Willing to submit to others for the sake of Christ. You're not one that always has to be right, to have your own way. You're really ready and willing to argue. What kind of marriage would that be if people had that kind of thinking? I had to have my way. Always ready to argue. James says, this is not the wisdom that comes from God. Next, James says, it's full of mercy and good fruits. Why full of mercy? Because we realize that we have been given so much through Christ. We have been given so much mercy, and so we give mercy to others. Good fruits, because that's the natural result of one who has been born again. We've gone from being sensual to being spiritual. And one expects fruit to come in such. Galatians 5:22 lists the fruit of the Spirit. When one is in Christ, this fruit should be seen in your life. It should be shown. Behind our house, someone planted a feijoa tree. I don't like where it is, but someone put it there anyway. But what do you expect? It has some little fruit starting to show on it. And what do you expect the fruit going to be one day? It's going to be feijoa. That's not a trick question. Feijoa fruit, okay? So it's going to be feijoa. Why? Because it's a feijoa tree. That is simple. One who is in Christ, what kind of fruit do you expect to see? Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's who we are. We belong to Him. We are now spiritual. We are in Christ. Next, we see without partiality. We've already dealt with this partiality earlier in James when he had a whole section talking about showing favoritism and partiality. Because God does not show favoritism based on your ethnicity, your status, your wealth, your looks, anything else. We are also to be careful to treat all others in an equal way as well and love them the same. And then finally, he says, without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. A hypocrite is literally one who wears a mask. One who wears a mask. The mask shows something different than what's on the inside of them. Jesus spoke of a man who wore a mask when he went to the temple to pray, thanking God he wasn't a sinner like other men when he prayed and fasted and gave and everything else. That was his mask, his spirituality mask, but that wasn't what he was truly on the inside. The other man had no mask. He had no mask. He was tired of masks. And that day was the beginning of a new life for him. That day was the beginning of something new for him. Be careful when you start to put together another mask. Maybe you have a Christian expert mask. Or maybe you have a mask appearing to have all the answers mask. Or maybe you have the theological debater mask. You have all these masks that people see in you, but it's not necessarily what's really on the inside of you. This wisdom that we're talking about should be found in us. At the beginning, we saw James ask the opening question, who among you is wise and understanding? The answer to that should be, we are. We all have God's wisdom. We all have access to His understanding. And so there should be a room full of people that can say in the affirmative, yes, by God's grace, yes. Thank you, Lord, yes. And this should be the measure of success in the church. Who among us has wisdom and understanding? What is the result? Well, James finishes this section with verse 18. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We have fruit, the fruit of righteousness. And it's sown by those who sow in peace. All that we do, whether it's raising our kids to know Christ, whether it's teaching and discipling others, preparing people for ministry, delivering a sermon, teaching lessons, whatever, are done by those who make peace, those who are pure, those who are peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Is this describing you, your life? Is this describing you? Do you have this kind of wisdom? This is the question. Would you please stand with me? With your head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. My friend, I want to first just ask a question in regards to being natural or being spiritual. We saw the word sensual this morning, and just think of the word natural. Natural is how you were born. You were born one time, and that's your natural birth. You have a natural mother and father. But being in this natural person also means that we have sin. We've been tainted by sin. That's why Jesus says, don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. The natural man cannot inherit the things of God. You must be changed. You cannot change it. You cannot change yourself. This is a gracious work of the Spirit of God. But Jesus made it possible through His work on the cross. And He says to anyone, He says to all to come. Come to Him. Repent. Repent of your sin. Acknowledge your sin. Repent of it. And make Him today Lord and Savior of your life. Is there anyone here who might say, Pastor Ken, I believe I'm still that natural man, and I've never been born again as a spiritual man. And I just want to ask you to pray for me. This is something that concerns me. I've never been born again. Is there anyone here like that? Raise your hand without anyone else looking, and And I promise I don't want to come and embarrass you or ask you to do anything that you don't want to do. I just want to remember you in prayer, though. Anyone that would say, Pastor Ken, I don't think I've been born again, pray for me. Just remember me in prayer. Pray for me. Pray for me. Brothers and sisters, this morning, is this wisdom showing in your life? When James asked this question, does any among you wise and have understanding? The answer should be yes. And it's not an answer given in pride and arrogance, but it should be an answer given in humility, because we acknowledge where this wisdom comes from. It's not earthly. It's not demonic. It's not sensual. But it comes from above. God gives it. And it needs to show. Is it showing in your life? In what you do for God? What you do at home with your family? At work? At school? In purity in your life? In being peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Maybe there's something in your life that God is speaking to you about right now. Something that you've allowed. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's just something that has taken the place of God. Whatever it is, I ask you to go to Him at this time. Confess it. Leave it. And may our prayers be, Lord, let this wisdom, Your wisdom, show in my life. This is the person I want to be by Your grace and by Your strength and by Your power. And so today I ask you to let this wisdom and understanding be evidenced in my life. Lord, I ask Your Holy Spirit to work through me, that the fruit of the Spirit would be seen, would be clear. And Father, Lord, I also pray for any who are not in the faith. They've never been born again. Lord, You know who they may be. But Lord, I pray that You would do such a work in their life that they realize they must come to You and receive Your forgiveness and go from being the natural man to being a spiritual man. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, take a seat, please.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. For the next few moments, let's look at some announcements and some things that you need to know about that's coming up. If you have your bulletins on the inside pages under notices, you'll see we have a youth outing coming up on Friday, the 20th of April. That's next Friday. It's going to be at 7:30 at the Paradise Ice Skating. Josh, did you need to mention or say anything about that?
Just quickly about the next Friday. So this coming Friday, we're going to be meeting at Paradise Ice Skating Rink just over there at 7:30, okay? So we're not meeting at our place this week for youth, but we're going to be having our outing over at Paradise, all right? So we're meeting all over there at 7:30. There's two options that we have, either ice skating and laser tag or just ice skating. So the price will vary in between $15 to probably $25. So that's the price range that we're looking at. So if you want to come, be prepared for either $15 or $20. $15 gets us unlimited laser tag, so we might just end up playing laser tag all night, which would be pretty cool. But pickup time, probably around 9:30, somewhere around there, in between 9:30 and 9:45. But if you want to meet at Paradise at 7:30, that'd be awesome, okay?
And then we also have a new members class that starts in 2 weeks on Sunday the 29th. That's going to be at 10 o'clock during the Sunday school time period. So perhaps you've been attending International Baptist Church for some time, but you're not a member of the church as of yet, and you'd like to be, then come and see Pastor Ken about this, and you will be invited to come along to this class. It'll be several weeks that it takes to go through the new members class. Our Bible Training Center, we have a new class that will be starting up on the 3rd of May. That's on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It's called Communicating Biblical Messages. Now, I know some of you have already been through books number 1, books number 2, and book number 3. And so now you're ready to go into this. If you haven't done those books and you're interested, see Pastor Ken about it as well. And it may be that you can jump in during this time as well. So it's not just about those who are preaching messages. It can be for Sunday school teachers and others who are teachers. So just see Pastor Ken if you have any questions about that communicating biblical messages coming up. And then also we have a mother-daughter luncheon coming on Saturday the 12th of May. That's just before Mother's Day. And so we'll have a video that goes along with that. It's called No More Perfect Moms. No More Perfect Moms. So if you're interested in coming and bringing your daughters, or daughters, if you're interested in coming and bringing your mothers, that would be great. See my wife Gina about that if you have any questions. For our missions, we're praying for David and Wan Ying. That's missionaries that we supported here for quite a number of years in China. And then also our other missions letters are posted in the back on the missions board and the missions wall. So I think that's all of the announcements for this week. But before we're dismissed, we'll take just a moment and recognize birthdays and anniversaries. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone that's got a birthday coming up this week? Anyone? Come on up, Jonathan. Anyone else with a birthday this week? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating wedding anniversaries this week?
You'd like to share with
them. Bong and Tess, come on up here. Anyone else with birthday or wedding anniversaries? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday first, and then we'll sing Happy Anniversary. Happy Birthday.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
How many years, Bong? 52.
No.
What?
22.
Sorry. I thought that couldn't be right. Well done. Well done, Tess. Well done. Well, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Be sure to get some, we got some beeping going on. Be sure to get some tea or coffee and be in place at 10 o'clock so that we can continue studying.